You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, September 29, 2023. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Wrapping up your work week. It's the Friday Daily Nationalist. The weekend is a-coming, and hopefully you got the weekend off. But even if not, maybe you're able to listen to this show as you do your work. Have your barbecue, whatever you're doing. I'm glad you joined us this week. As you all well know, I continue. Sven always had the tradition of Friday's Daily Nationalist being lighthearted. And I've tried to continue that tradition. As most of you have noticed, I'm not doing very well. I'm not doing very well at it. And today may be an epic fail. And part of the problem with this is when you say lighthearted, and Sven would say, we want to be lighthearted as we can be on Friday. And I find dark, I guess, a certain amount of dark humor in things that most people would be like, well, that ain't lighthearted. Again, today's story is going to be definitely illustrative of this. But you have to be amazed sometimes at the way people behave. Now, before we go any further, once again, as I try to do on all these Daily Nationalist shows, especially, I do continue to remind you that we do have our Sven Longshanks support links here on the description page for these shows, for all of the Daily Nationalist shows, both Dr. Johnson's Thursday show as well as the ones I'm doing here on Mondays and on Fridays. So don't want to forget Sven. Y'all know what to do. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I do always like to remind everybody that we do continue to put that there. Now, as I say, I'm not doing well. I'm just being upfront with y'all. I'm not doing well with keeping the Friday shows lighthearted. For me, it's not really surprising. I would try to find, Sven would tell me, try to find a show for Friday. And I would come and I would send something to him and he would be basically like, well, that's not lighthearted at all. What is wrong with you? But if it's just like, well, you can't help but to kind of chuckle though at this, Sven, it's kind of humorous. And he'd be like, no, we're going to do this other story on transgender athletes again. And it's like, we could keep it. He's the reins that kept it on a lighthearted note. I picked today's story because I chuckled in amazement at people's ability to deny reality. And yet reality remains. The reality remains, and at some point you're going to run into it. And I find it amazing that people will deny reality even all the way, even if it costs them their lives. It's like their ideologies that are completely detached from reality hold such like a religious significance for them that they will literally martyr themselves rather than accept reality. I'm actually going to reference two news stories on the same topic, but my primary source is going to be this story from RT. And the title of the story is Black Felon Suspected in Murder of Anti-Racist CEO, with a subheading of a Baltimore technology entrepreneur has been found beaten to death on the roof of her apartment building. Now, right off the bat, you can look at this and say, yeah, Grandpa, this isn't going to be real lighthearted. You're going to be chuckling and making fun of someone's death. And that's not my intention. It's not my intention at all. And yet, it's not healthy for people to live outside of reality. I'm sorry. It's just not. And this is an example of this. Now, I use RT on a lot of these stories because the basic fact is you're going to get more factual information from RT than you are from Western media. For instance, just right off the bat, this story, at the top of it, they've got a picture of the wanted suspect. Pretty much every Western story I've looked at on the internet, has gone on about, you know, oh, this poor woman and this convicted felon, and they put his name out there, but they will not put his description. There's allegedly a manhunt for this guy, and yet no suspect picture. They've got a picture of the guy. He just got out of prison not long ago. Of course, they have a picture of the guy, and yet no picture at all. So, but RT, to their credit, puts it right up here. So let's go ahead and get into the story. And again, you have to understand, it's humorous to me in a dark sort of way. And I don't know how to go about this, you know, without seeming like I'm making fun of somebody getting themselves killed because they're martyring themselves for their ideology. But at the same time, I don't think you do anybody any favors by turning a blind eye and being like, oh yes, no, this is perfectly normal. It's like I said, I just saw a story, you know, I see these stories, they're numerous now, you know, about black crime in virtually every American city, but it's worse in some than others. And they've got this whole thing where they flash mob these stores and just loot them and clear the stores out. Just loot and clear the stores out. And you read the comments, and the comments are normally these normie conservatives, and all the comments are like, well, this is what happens when you don't allow teachers to discipline kids in school. This is a parenting problem. Parents need to be. And it's like everybody is ignoring the frankly large black elephant in the room that literally everybody on the video doing the looting, they're all black. And nobody will say, well, you know, there's obviously a crime problem in the black community aside from people in alternative media, such as yours truly. But it's just a fact. The government's very own statistics back up the fact that there is a black crime problem in the U.S. I mean, it's reality. And of course, you can't start to fix a problem if you can't identify the problem to begin with. If you sit around and say, well, we can't talk about that, well, then you're never going to address the problems. Also worth noting is since the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter business, it's gotten worse. You know, now it's way worse than before all of that. And it's another example of these so-called movements that supposedly are done in the name of helping black people. They've made black people's lives worse every single time. And once again, you're not supposed to look at that or acknowledge that. The left never wants you to look at the results of what they're doing. They always just want you to listen to their lying words about the reason why they're doing it. Well, we're doing this to help black people. We're bringing justice to black people. Only now black people's lives are manifest worse. You know, the observable reality is their lives are worse. When I sit here and say we have a black crime problem in the United States, it's demonstrated by government statistics, which probably are underreported. You have to remember that the majority of black crime is committed where? In black neighborhoods, which means the victims the majority of the victims are going to be other black people. Again, the left does these things like the Black Lives Matter nonsense, and they claim they're doing them to make black people's lives better. I'll get this spit out here in a minute. And yet, again, if you look at the results of what they do, they make their lives worse. But that's not the point of today's story. The point of today's story is to talk about this woman who... let's just get into the story. Police in Baltimore, Maryland have launched a manhunt for a black suspect. And again, you have to go to RT to get an actual suspect description. For a black suspect who allegedly murdered a local business executive who had rallied against, quote, criminalization of black bodies and described herself as an anti-racist. And I've already got to stop here. See, this is what I mean about detaching yourself from reality and believing in just a bunch of gibberish that's cobbled together and forms an ideology that has no, again, that has no basis in reality. It's just fairy tale. She rallied against, quote, criminalization of black bodies. What the hell does that even mean? It's the implication that people are being thrown in prison just for being black. Now, look, I'm going to be one of the first people to say there's a huge problem with the criminal justice system in the U.S. You see, if the Black Lives Matter protests were against the judicial system, if it was against the judicial system based in reality, then the discussion would have been centered around people that don't have money have no chance in this system. The conversation, there's a conversation to be had about the criminal justice system in the U.S., but that conversation should be centering around the fact that like 90 something percent of all criminal cases end in a plea bargain because they just stack a bunch of charges. You can't afford a lawyer. You wind up with a court appointed lawyer who's going to tell you, oh, well, you just need to go ahead and plead guilty to this and you'll get less time because you're not going to win in court anyway because the lawyer doesn't want to mess with it because he's not getting paid. And you wind up pleading out. You get people that are found later, you know, exonerated. And people will say, well, why did they plead guilty? Well, this is why. Because our court-appointed lawyer, because they can't afford the ridiculously expensive judicial system to fight these cases. Their court-appointed lawyer says, yeah, you need to go ahead and plead out to this, you know, because you'll do 5 years instead of doing 30 years. So it just makes sense. You're a fool if you don't do that. And if you do insist on going to trial, I'm not going to mess with it. You're going to have to go hire a lawyer. That would have been the conversation. Instead, you have what? The criminalization of black bodies. Like the police are going out and just like harvesting black people to put in prison. It's completely detached from reality. And she describes herself, she described herself, past tense now, as an anti-racist. Again, what does this mean? We need to bear down. I get so tired of listening to people, mainly usually conservatives, and they accept all of these terms that the left uses. Racist. I'm not a racist. How much time do you hear conservative people try to say that I'm not racist? They spend all their time to defend themselves about not being racist, you know, not being anti-Semitic, not being this, not, instead of just trying to make their point. In other words, it's just name calling. She's an anti-racist. What she really meant was she's anti-white. That's what that means. Because I don't know if anybody can. What does racist even mean? Because it's like the whole, it goes hand in hand with this idea of the criminalization of black bodies, which is saying that people just going, the police were just going around and throwing, harvesting black people to put in the prison system. Instead, you know, racism is just the idea that people might not, might observe overall black behavior and not want to be around it. People pointing out the undeniable statistics that there is a crime problem centered in the black community. Oh, that's racist. You're pointing out reality and it runs into the face of my fantasy ideology, my fantasy based ideology. I mean, this idea that people just go around, you know, just hating on people for the color of their skin. I mean, it's just silly. Nobody does that. And yet, if you point out there is a black crime problem in the United States, and in fact, most crime is if you eliminate the black racial component from it, we really have very low crime in the U.S. That's racist to point out the truth. This individual will kill and he will rape, Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley said on Tuesday at a press briefing regarding the alleged beating to death of 26-year-old Pava LaPere. He will do anything he can to cause harm, Worley announced in an arrest warrant for 32-year-old Jason Billingsley, the first-degree murder and other charges stemming from the alleged attack on LaPere. The body of LaPere, the CEO of EcoMap Technologies, was found on the roof of her luxury apartment building on Monday. Police said there were signs of blunt force trauma to her head, which one officer described as absolutely brutal. Now, her body was found on the roof of her apartment building. And I've read several stories on this. And in one story, they said it was not easy necessarily to get up there. Like, you know, I think you had to climb a ladder or something to get up there is where I read in one account of this. And even though, you know, this guy is not a small dude, neither this woman wasn't necessarily a small woman. So the idea that he, what, threw over his shoulder and carried her up there, not necessarily realistic. So At this point, I want to flip over here to the Washington Post story concerning this guy, this case. And I just want to read one paragraph from it. Police said they believe LaPere and Billingsley did not know each other, but it's unclear how authorities were able to determine that Billingsley is a suspect. Worley said LaPere's apartment complex had security measures that would have required someone to, quote, allow the suspect in the building. So my theory here, and this is my theory, I may be wrong. Look, this is a theory. Tinder date gone wrong? Went to the roof of the building for a romantic, exciting encounter, perhaps? I don't know. Look, I'm not trying to smear the dead here. I don't know. But you have this account that the police said they didn't know each other, yet they knew basically right away that this guy did it. How was that? Well, if there's a record of them hooking up on some app, that they would know that right away, wouldn't they? Especially given when they look at this guy and he's got this criminal background, which we'll get into here in a minute. Then you have somebody had to let him into the complex to begin with. And then there's how did she get up on the roof to be beaten to death? Now, again, it's just a theory, and I'm not trying to pick on the dead here, but I'm putting two and two together, and my theory is Tinder date gone wrong. And to be suspicious, to be like hesitant, like maybe I shouldn't do this, would be very racist. So you see, she martyred herself, if I'm correct, she martyred herself for her beliefs. It's just amazing to me. And again, this isn't, I guess, I'm not doing well at a lighthearted story. But you just can't help. I don't know. You just can't help chuckle at amazement and shake your head at how anybody could think that was a good idea. How somebody could sit there when reality is screaming in their face and they put themselves in that sort of situation and it ends tragically. I mean, her family, no doubt, is going to, you know, feel bad. They feel bad. They've lost a loved one. You know, I get that. I'm not trying to be insensitive. But I mean, if you stood there and watched somebody like willingly do something dangerous. You know, you have these news stories where somebody does something obviously stupid and dangerous, and people will make comments and be like, well, the Darwin Award winner for this year is, you know, the whole Darwin Awards where people just do something observably dangerous and stupid and it has a bad outcome and everybody makes light of that. It's kind of how I view this. To be so dedicated to your ideology, which obviously runs counter to reality, that you wind up in this sort of situation. Now, at some point, the details of what transpired are going to come about, and hopefully outlets such as RT will actually tell us the story, because I fully suspect the American media will just bury it, and maybe we'll know for sure. But that's just my theory. You got too many pieces here. How did he get in? How did they wind up on the roof? They didn't know each other, but right away the cops knew it was this guy. Come on now. Let's go back to our RT story. Billingsley, a registered sex offender who was released from prison last October after serving just 9 years of a 30-year sentence, is a suspect in at least one other criminal case. He has a history of violent crimes dating back to at least 2009, and Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott said he should be considered extremely dangerous. You see, this is an example of criminalizing black bodies. You see, this very story, criminalizing his black bodies. Why, he was in prison. Now he's a suspect in another criminal case. Is a history of violent crimes. Why, this is just criminalizing black bodies. See, you can deny reality all you want, but at some point in time, deniability. Slow down, Dan. At some point in time, reality is going to come crashing in on you. And it may give you blunt force trauma to your head when it does. You don't want to be in that position. Denying reality is never going to put you in a better position than just accepting the truth, whether they're awkward truths, whether they're uncomfortable truths. Hatred does not have to figure it in. These people, like, you point these things out and they say, oh, you're hating. No, I don't feel an emotion of hatred. We're just dealing with reality here. If this woman would have been dealing with reality, she'd have been like, you know, maybe I shouldn't partake in this particular activity. Maybe I should be a little more suspicious. Maybe I should be a little more aware of my surroundings. Maybe this idea that they're simply criminalizing black bodies is kind of silly. There is no way in hell that he should have been out on the street, the mayor told reporters. When the police go out and do their job, as they did in this case, and the state's attorneys go out and do their work, gets the conviction should be the conviction. We're tired of talking about the same people committing the same kind of crimes over and over again. But you see, that's criminalization of black bodies. I don't necessarily believe in karma, but I do believe in predictable outcomes for behavior. There's a certain irony in the fact that this woman was very active in promoting policies that resulted in the release of this guy. This demand, she was talking about fighting against the criminalization of black bodies, so his black body got decriminalized and they let him out of prison. She literally fought for something that resulted in her demise. Again, I don't want to make fun of somebody dying, but at the same time, you just have to sit there and say, wow. Just wow. How, wow. Just defund the police. Yes. You know, decriminalizing these people that are criminalizing black bodies. We've got to stop it. Can't keep going on. We can't keep tolerating this racism. She's an anti-racist activist. She couldn't tell you what racism is. What is this racism? She's an anti-racist. Well, what is she fighting against? People pointing out the truth? Because again, I don't know anybody that just hates people for who they, you know, for being who they are. I bet you, we all know you get accused of that, but that's ridiculous. I don't hate black people. I don't hate people for being black. That's just silly. That doesn't make any logical sense. But at the same time, I'm going to know. You know, I'm not going to be down in the hood on Saturday night either, because I understand that ain't no place for no white boy to be. And this is racist. But you see, I ain't going to wind up on the roof of some apartment building with my head bashed in either. I'll be nice and cozy at home, not in the hood. LaPere, who employed dozens of people at EcoMap Technologies, was honored this year by Forbes magazine as its 30 under 30 list of top young executives in terms of social impact. She was a vocal supporter of Black Lives Matter and spoke out against alleged racism in the U.S. criminal justice system. I'm reminded of the story. Like, you hear the story. I remember their story here a while back. And these people, I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, but they went off into the woods, into bear country, because they wanted to go be one with the bears. And they did. They successfully became one with the bears. I'm going to live in the wilderness. I'm going to live. This notion that bears are dangerous is just a silly speciesism or some crap. And they went to live in the woods and be one with the bears. And they became one with the bears, as in they became bear shit, because they got ate by the bears. That's one of those Darwin Award moments. When you do things, you know, when you do things that have a predictable outcome, but you do them anyway because you don't like reality. You want reality to conform with your view of the world versus forming your view of the world centered around reality. Here's the thing. If this woman were still alive, and the victim of it was some other random white woman, or hell, for that matter, a black woman, if the victim was some random member of the black community, this woman, the victim of this crime, were still alive, she wouldn't give it a second thought. She would still be patting herself on the back and accepting her awards for all the great work she's doing in social justice. That's just reality. No, I'm telling you, that is a fact. That is a fact. We have the example. All of these people, and remember, when Black Lives Matter was going on, you remember the pictures? You can go back and look at the pictures. And like all of these pictures, you had what? All these white women out there. You have a few black women. I remember you'd see these videos, you'd see some pictures. And all these white women are out there screaming about Black Lives Matter. And you would have a few black women there. You'd have the Shaquanda. You'd have Shaquanda back there with Letitia. And you'd have these pictures, these videos, and they looking at them like, what you white bitches doing here anyway? And once again, Shnay Shnay got it right. I was Shnay Shnay. I'm like, what are all these white bitches doing here? This book be about Black Lives Matter. Why all these white bitches here? They just trying to get our black men. And I agree. Once again, Schnee hits the nail on the head. You see, no hatred required here. I'm agreeing. Schnee got it right. The white women, they're just trying to get with the black men. Why they virtue signal. If this woman were still alive, I'm getting back on point. If this woman were still alive, she wouldn't bat an eye over what this guy had done. She would still be patting herself on the back and receiving awards. What do I base that on? I base that on what we've already talked about in this very show. Since Black Lives Matter, black criminality has gone through the roof, primarily in black communities. And people like this woman here, they don't give a shit. They don't care. All of these social justice, anti-racist, woke white women bitches, have you heard a single one of them lift an eyebrow now that a lot of these black communities have turned into a war zone? No. They're just busy patting themselves on the back about what good anti-racist social justice warriors they are. They don't care. If some other random white woman were the victim of this and not this woman, and this woman were still alive, she'd probably still be talking about how the police are criminalizing his black body and naming him as a suspect when it could have been anybody. Yes. EcoMap Technologies stands against systemic racism, bigotry, and a police state that criminalizes black bodies, LaPere reportedly said on her Instagram account. We stand in support of the Black Lives Matter movement now and always. Well, now you don't. Nope, not always, because now you're dead. We commit to being anti-racist in all aspects of what we do, from the team members we hire to the customers we serve. One of my failings, because I'm always self-critical. You know, I'm always looking at myself and trying to figure out my shortcomings and so that I can improve upon them. And one of my admitted failures is that I have a tendency to far underestimate how stupid people are. I mean that. I tend to way grossly underestimate how moronic people can be. And what I mean by that is, you know, people have this failure to be able to differentiate the micro from the macro. And because they have this failure, they project it onto others. For instance, if you point out, black criminality by the government's very own statistics, not just making it up, no hatred, they will accuse you of these things. And they will come back at you and say, well, I have a black friend that isn't anything like that. You know, conservatives would say, well, I watch these black guys, these based black guys on YouTube, and they're pretty good. Well, I'm sure they are. You know, they're probably really good guys. You know, if you point out the macro, like as a group in the black community, there's a crime problem in this country, a massive one. We should try to figure something out about that. They think you have to mean every single one. And so they projected upon you, oh, well, you just hate black people. I probably spent more time around black people than most of these white, predominantly women who promote this nonsense. You know, I understand the difference. You know, I understand the difference. I can stand there and talk to a black person and say, oh, this guy's pretty all right. I'm still not going down here to the hood on Saturday night to go hang out. I still understand that that's the difference between the micro and the macro, and people can't do that. And not just people like this. Conservatives do the same damn thing. It's not a black problem. I reject your racist nonsense. Why, look, I watch based black guy all the time on YouTube. Well, I watch some of the based black guy's videos too. Pretty good. Whichever one you're talking about. You know, it's fine. You understand the micro versus the macro. LaPere touted the fact that more than 30% of her employees were black, which have nothing to do with... Yeah. This notion of criminalizing black bodies. My black employees, I've hired black employees, and they're very nice people. I'm sure they are. How can you be so stupid that you can't separate. I know these individual people and I treat them nicely and they treat me nicely and we get along and we can hang out together and go have coffee and they're nice persons and I don't hate them. How can you not differentiate that from this as a community, as a group of people? There's a crime problem here. And the crime problem affects everybody, white people and other black people. Why are you unable to have that discussion? And when you see other people having that discussion, you sit there and cover your ears and scream and call them racist and you accuse them of hating people. It's just mind-boggling. We commit to improving diverse representation in our company, she said. In addition to donations, we will commit our community service hours to organizations that promote and support black entrepreneurship. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I got no problem. I don't have any problem with something like that. If you want to help other people, regardless of their race, you want to try to help other people to come up and do better, that's something that's worthy. You know, that's something worthy, a worthy thing to do to help other people. But then to turn around and promote policies, as this woman obviously did, that enables criminals, because they are black, and you've decided they're only in jail because they're black, to get out of jail and so thus commit more crimes, which affect black people. Black businesses get looted and destroyed as well. You see, it's a contradictory thing because you got to be based in reality. EcoMap Technologies posted a statement on Tuesday calling the circumstances surrounding LaPere's death, quote, deeply distressing. The company added, Pava was not only the visionary force behind EcoMap, but was also a deeply compassionate and dedicated leader. I'm going to try to keep up with this story. You know, because and find out, you know, keep up as they're going to track this guy down. And at some point in time, the details will eke out. The media is not going to cover it. And I'll try to keep an eye out for it to see if my theory of Tinder date gone wrong is correct. I think that's what the facts are pointing towards. But regardless of that, at the end of the day, this woman promoted policies. She protested in favor of policies that ultimately led to things like this guy, who had no business being out of prison, getting let out of prison. She supported that. If the victim was somebody not her, she wouldn't give a shit about it. And I say that again because you have this is happening quite a bit. You hear about all of these shootings. Again, a lot of times this is happening in the black community. When you hear about, oh, another shooting and this many people got killed, and it's all black people that got killed, these same people don't care about that either. They wouldn't care. If this was some other person that was, I'm such a good person, I'm promoting diversity and the decriminalization of people being thrown in jail just because they're black. This person and others like her have promoted these policies. And sometimes you reap what you sow. She promoted these policies, and part of what she was protesting for has resulted in someone like this guy getting let out of prison. And this is just one of those rare instances where, again, she actually reaped what she sowed. She actually got she got part of the result of what she was advocating for. You see, when you can't be grounded in reality, the outcomes are always going to be bad. You can deny reality for so long. You can create a fantasy world for yourself for so long. But at some point in time, reality is going to show up. And if you're not prepared for it, it can wind up hitting you pretty hard. It can wind up hitting you like blunt force trauma to the head. We'll wrap up on that note. Again, I apologize. This isn't very lighthearted. As I finish up this show, I realize it's not lighthearted at all. And again, unless you like those Darwin Award stories, then you can find some lightheartedness there. If Sven was here doing his thing, there's no way we'd be doing this story today. I apologize to Sven. This is what you get. This is just part of how we, this is part of the struggle. It's part of the struggle as we try to go forward with this. With Sven absent, you get stories like this that wind up not being lighthearted, except in kind of a dark humor sort of way. We're going to wrap up. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you'll come back and check out all our great content Monday through Friday here on Radio Albion. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.